This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. It is time for 2A Tuesday, so I encourage you to get on the line now. It's 844-500-4242. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks will take all of your questions, whether it's about the Second Amendment, whether it's about a specific brand of gun, a type of ammo, the supply chain crisis, whatever it is, Toby has the answers. And if he doesn't, you can go on all the blogs and you can tear him to pieces, which I know people do after the show occasionally. But I gotta say, for as many questions as he gets, he really does knock them out of the park. Now, before we get to Toby, I'm going to give people a couple seconds here to get on the lines. We already have a few. We already have some people texting in. I will read your text as well. Before we get to that, though, I have to share a theory. So yesterday we played a little bit of Kamala Harris. Now, let's play the Kamala Harris without anything first, okay? This was Kamala Harris yesterday talking about, I really don't know. She's not really talking about anything specific. It's more just, you know, poetic waxing. Let's take a listen.
Imagine a future. The freight trucks that deliver bread and milk to our grocery store shelves and the buses that take children to school and parents to work. Imagine all the heavy-duty vehicles that keep our supply lines strong and allow our economy to grow. Imagine that they produced zero emissions.
All right. So I heard that and I was like, I don't know what the tone of her voice or the way she's speaking, like what it reminds me of. And what I came up with yesterday was it sounds like she's reading a story to a bunch of kids. And then it kind of dawned on me. If people don't know this about me, I should let you know. I'm a thespian. I spend a lot of time in the theater. And when you watch a musical, there's usually a point in the musical where you think to yourself, this person's about to break into song. Like they're setting us up for something. And that's what Kamala Harris is doing in a lot of these speeches. Okay, and now we're going to give you Exhibit A. A little mix of both. Let's see if you agree. Jared, take it away, maestro.
Imagine a future. The freight trucks that deliver bread and milk to our grocery store shelves and the buses that take children to school and parents to work. Imagine all the heavy-duty vehicles that keep our supply lines strong and allow our economy to grow.
Imagine dancers come out of the back. Dancers, go,
that they produced zero emissions. Well, you all imagined it.
Get the spotlight.
That's why we're here today. Because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
Step shuffle, ball change.
It's pretty good, right? Is it just in my mind? Maybe I just wanted an excuse to play Don't Rain Up My Parade. It is my favorite number.
No, she definitely sounds like she's ramping up to something.
You think like
of course, you never get the payoff because it's just word salad, but...
Like Pete Buttigieg and Tony Blinken are going to come out of the background and just start dancing or something. I don't know, but...
Tony Blinken's going to come out and do some interpretive dance to Billie Eilish or something like that.
It sounds very performative, which makes sense. That might be the only way she can get through this is by pretending to be an actress. All right. Well, we have full
craters,
lines.
Craters. Moon.
I swear.
The
I could,
moon.
I felt like when you were playing that and her voice was going, I felt like I was back in theater. And someone in the back is going, okay, cue the dancers. Go, go, go. This is it. This is the opening number. I wonder if she can sing. She was setting us up for something. All right. We have full lines. Toby Leary, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we had to take that little brief aside, Toby. I hope it was worth it.
Oh, it was. Anytime I get to hear your dramatic performance, it's fine with me.
I'm a thespian, just like our vice president. All right, now let's go to the callers here, Toby. I'm not going to hog any of your time. I'm going to throw it out to all the listeners. Let's start with Craig. You've been on the line for a while. Go ahead, Craig.
Toby, was the 35 Whalen ever considered to be a sniper round?
No. I shouldn't say that so authoritarian. I don't know that it was, maybe back in whatever the 30s or 40s under whatever the sniper, round of the day was. But it's a big, heavy, lumbering round. It's a more of a brush gun, old Western deer gun type of thing. And it's very popular in lever action rifles. But was it ever considered to be a sniper rifle on a sniper round? I don't know. But I don't know what the original creation of it was, but I know what it's most popularly used for, which is, a good old-fashioned deer hunting round out of a lever gun. And it's a big bore that, a lot of people up in the woods, Maine, like that round for putting food on the table. That's pretty much it.
Perfect. Thank you, Craig. Let's go to Andy. You're next up on 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Andy.
I heard in the state of Georgia passed a law that it does not require a permit to carry to have a gun in a car, loaded or unloaded, concealed or not concealed. And also in the state of Alabama. And I'm curious if that is just for vehicles or snowmobiles or boats or what would be boats or motorcycles, and if that is an end of the road for us gun enthusiasts.
Okay, Toby, what's your answer?
Yeah, I have a feeling what you're referring to is the Georgia constitutional carry. They approved constitutional carry back in 2021, last year, and there's a bunch of other states that are considering it right now. I know Alabama, as you alluded to, Ohio, Pennsylvania. There's some others as well. Florida's talking about it. So constitutional carry is what was originally intended by our founders. Everybody, no one had to get a special permit to buy a gun. After the Bill of Rights was written, it was just axiomatic that everybody had the right to carry a gun. And so fast forward now, with every state having different laws and restrictions on those rights, a lot of the states have started to put into law constitutional carry. Originally, it was one state. Vermont was the only state. Now, I think we're up to 23, maybe 24 states. So almost half the country has gone back to constitutional carry, which is a huge win for winning back some of our rights that have been infringed upon for the past 100 years. So really excited about this movement that's going forward, and I don't think it's the end of the road. I think it's the beginning. It's putting back some of the rights that have been stripped away from us as law-abiding, responsible gun owners in America. So look for more of that, Andy, and I'd love to see it happen in Massachusetts, although I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Toby, because I was reading a piece from the LA Times, and they were actually mentioning that all of these laws regarding guns are pointless if no one enforces them. So, I mean, when the LA Times is starting to, catch the drift of what's happening, it does not look good for Democrats. Let's go to RJ. You're next for Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. What's your question, RJ?
Hey, Grace, how are you doing today?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm a retired law enforcement officer and entitled to carry under H.R. 218. And my question for Toby is, does that actually translate to being able to carry cross-country?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it does. So law enforcement, almost like the last caller from Andy about constitutional carry, law enforcement officers have a special license that they are able to get and obtain under that H.R. 218. They can also get the LEOSA permit, which enables them to carry concealed in all 50 states. There are some little nuances with each state, like New Jersey, you still can't carry hollow points in your gun. But there's it does enable you to carry. You got to qualify once a year and prove that you're still competent with a gun, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the closest thing we have to constitutional carry throughout, or national reciprocity within the country. Is it's already being enacted with police officers, so there's no reason it couldn't be expanded to everybody who's a responsible, law-abiding gun owner in this country. So I don't see why it couldn't happen. It happens every day with driver's licenses, and, you know, you don't have to stop at the border of your state and get a special permit or license to go into another state with your car. So why do you have to with a constitutionally protected right such as the Second Amendment? And we'd love to see that happen. But, yeah, that is one thing, one big advantage to police officers and retired police officers. So I'd love to see it expanded. But, yeah, thanks, RJ.
Thank you for the call, RJ. Good question. When we get back, Toby will answer the rest of your questions. The number is 844-500-4242. Get on the line now. I'll also read some texts when we get back. It's Two-Way Tuesday with Toby Leary and Grace Curley, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. It is 2A Tuesdays. This is when we talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks about all things guns, whether that be ammo, a specific style of gun that you're thinking of, or just a question about getting your gun license. This is the time to call in. It's 844-500-4242. Let's go to Rachel. You're next on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi, Grace. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question about sending a .22 shotgun to my son in Idaho. I need to know if it would be better to send it through the mail or if he could take it on the plane when he comes back to visit with him. What's the best?
Okay.
Law? Yeah.
Toby, mail or plane? What do you say to Rachel?
Rachel, the way you're going to have to do it to be compliant with the law is you're going to have to send it to a FFL. Because a transfer is taking place. If he isn't a Massachusetts resident and doesn't have his license to carry here, you can't simply just give him the gun, unfortunately. So what you got to do is go, you can send it, you know, FedEx ground or UPS ground or even U.S. Postal Service ground, but what you do is just box it up and ship it right to a gun store near him. So you could ask him where the local gun store is, and they'll ship it right there. And when he picks it up, they'll do the background check and all that, and he'll be able to take it home with him at that point after all the paperwork is done.
Can I ask another question about it? Because
sure.
it was a gift from my father-in-law to my father. My father passed, and then we got it back. Is there some kind of, like, we have no records of ownership? We just own it.
That's okay.
How does that work?
That's okay. It's all in the family, and you could just go ahead and ship it to an FFL. And once the background check has been done and everything, and it's signed over to him, it's now his gun. You know what I mean? So the FFL will receive that. The gun store will receive it, put it on their books, and then they'll do an official transfer to your son. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Pretty easy process. We do it all the time for people, and it's going to range in price from probably $40 to $60, depending on where he goes. There's a fee involved, like a transfer fee. So, but would be happy to help you with that if you're close to Cape Gunworks. But you can ship it directly to the FFL as long as they will accept a shipment from a person. You don't have to bring it to a gun store here first.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Rachel. Let's go to Alan. You're next up with Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, thank you, Grace. I hope you keep on having Toby on. Before I get to Toby, he's knowledgeable and professional. And not a knock on all the callers, but like we live in a state here in Massachusetts where there is a lot of confusion.
Yes, I agree.
Because of our attorney general. And I hope you keep on having Toby on.
We will.
And I real quick, before I get to Toby, your husband, you read a... I'm able to listen. I'm off today, but I listen to you because I got earbuds in my phone. I got the app on my phone now while I'm working. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
But about a week or two ago, you mentioned you read a question from your husband to Toby about he was going to buy a SIG with a compensator on it.
Yes.
And not being noisy, but it sounds like your husband did some research, and I don't know if he's bought it yet, but if he does, I have an STI DVC steel with a compensator. Which I'm not sure, I haven't fired one of the SIGs yet. But if he buys that, he'll be very happy, and he won't want to upgrade. Some people buy cheaper guns, and, you know, they go out, and then they go to the range, and somebody else will shoot something nice, and then they want to sell it, and you're not going to get the money back and that you paid for it. And I think he'll be happy with that.
So okay, thank you, Alan. I will let him know. He'll appreciate that. I'm sure he's listening right now, so we'll write that down. Alan, what's your question for Toby?
Yeah, for Toby. Nice to meet you, brother. But I got a Les Bear 1911, a Premier II Super Tactical. And it's, you know, a good gun. And I want to buy a shoulder holster for it. And I know a lot about guns, but I'm not good with the internet. But I mean, do you? When I go on the internet to buy I'm looking at probably spending. I've been told it's probably going to cost, you know, probably like $400 to buy a nice leather, you know, not a cheap one. It's an expensive gun, obviously, if you're familiar with the Les Bears, but
yes,
want to buy a good shoulder holster. Do you know any companies, or what do I punch in on the, Google to
look up the Galco Miami Vice Class, or it's the Miami Classic. I always call it the Miami Vice because of the show, but it's called the Galco Miami Classic, and it's not even that much money. They're probably under $200. You can get it in tan or black, and actually, you can even go right on our website, CapeGunWorks.com, and it'll pop right up there, and it'll ship right from our distributor straight to you. Or you could call us at the shop, and we'll be happy to special order it for you. Just type in shoulder holster into the chat box. But I used to carry a gun in that exact shoulder holster, and it was a great setup, and I really think it's one of the better ones out there. So you can spend a lot more than that, but you don't have to. So it'll hold two spare magazines as well.
Perfect. Thank you for the call, Alan. That was informative and also a very good question. Before we go to the other callers, the number is 844-500-4242. Stay on the line. We're going to get to all of the questions on the other side. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How do you gas up now? Partial fill or top it off?
All right, I know what Toby's answer is going to be because he's a very logical, smart guy. I do partial fill. What do you do, Toby?
I still fill it up, but I actually did my first like Facebook post ever of this situation the other day with the price of the pump. Took a picture of how much it cost to fill up. It was $130 to fill my tank.
Oh, it's painful. It is absolutely painful. Toby, hang on there. The number is 844-500-4242. We have a few lines open for Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays. We'll get to all these calls when we come back.
73% say top it off.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have full lines for Toby Leary, and that makes sense because it's 2A Tuesday. This is your chance to get all your gun questions answered by the expert, Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Let's go to Bert. You're next on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Bert.
Hey, first time, long time listener. I just have a question for the gun expert.
Yes.
My motto is 5.55, five rounds in 5 inches at 500 yards. And I know the Marine Corps sniper during the Vietnam War, had many, many kills, and he had a book put out. I want to know what type of rifle I should buy and what size round.
Okay. Toby.
So I'm a little confused about the 5 inches part, though. You're saying the barrel length was 5 inches?
No, I want to put 5 rounds in a 5-inch circle at 500 yards. What's the best rifle to buy?
All right, so there's a lot of capable rifles at that distance. 500 yards, believe it or not, in this day and age is not very far to get. And that's what is known as minute of angle. So it's basically a 1-inch group at 100 yards. So you want to be able to shoot minute of angle or sub-minute of angle at 500 yards, and there's a ton of rifles out there that can do it. Basically, any Kimber bolt-action rifle is sub-minute of angle right from the factory, as well as a whole host of other guns. But I would go with a 6.5 Creedmoor, or even a 308 is very capable at that distance. Even 223, believe it or not, is not known as a long-range precision rifle cartridge, but it's very capable of shooting sub-minute of angle at 500 yards. But I would go with probably like a, some sort of Christensen Arms, if money's no object, and you can get a nice carbon fiber barrel for it in the, $2,000 to $3,000 range, or even a Remington 700 in 308 and 6.5 Creedmoor if you want to stay well under that amount of money. But if, I think the $2,500 range is a sweet spot for a really good precision rifle, and I love the carbon fiber barrels. You'll easily be able to put 5-shot groups under 5 inches at 500 with that. So we have plenty of those type of guns at our shop, but there's also some semi-automatic rifles that are very capable of doing that as well. You don't need to just go with a bolt action these days. So I would look at the Christensen Arms rifles, even the Tika T3X by, Beretta Imports for Tika, and the T3X Tactical is a phenomenal bolt-action rifle with a chassis, and those are sub-$2,000 that'll easily do that for you. But that's a great question and a good goal to work towards, Bert.
All right, good question, Bert, and good answer, Toby. Let's go to Dave. You're next up on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's your question?
Toby, I have a question about optics. I just bought a new little AR that I love. I call it my Ferrari. It's a Daniel Defense SSD or whatever they are. I love it. Mm-hmm. But right now all I have is iron sights on it, and a DDM. I have a DDM 4 V7, and I just put iron sights on it. I haven't decided which way I want to go with optics. I have a SIG 716L, which is a 7.62 AR platform that I put an LPVO on that I love. Mm-hmm. But I'm considering going with a red dot as opposed to with a magnifier as opposed to an LPVO, or maybe even a Vortex Spitfire, one of those. I don't know a lot about that particular optic, and I just kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit about that. And one thing I was wondering about that, because I know with the LPVO, I had to take the rear sight, the iron sight off the Picatinny because it just didn't fit, and I really didn't like doing that. But I think I feel as though if I put the red dot, I could leave, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like would I be able to leave the rear sight on with that setup for optics, and just in general, your idea, your thoughts on the three the three kinds of optics, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer on the radio.
All right, great question, Dave. And this is an evolution that pretty much everybody goes through at some point when they're setting up their modern sporting rifle. I have come full circle and originally, had iron sights, went to the red dot sight, then I went to the red dot with a magnifier, and have ultimately come to the low-power variable optic that you're talking about, that LPVO. So basically, I have a 1-10 Vortex Razor HD, which is a phenomenal scope, and when you put it on one power, it acts like a red dot sight. It has a little bit of magnification, but I have an astigmatism as well, so sometimes a red dot is blurry, but when you get that true one power, it usually clears that up, cleans up your reticle. So I have just stuck with the low power variable optic in my setup. but a lot of people do go to that red dot with a magnifier. The only disadvantage to that is you're going to be stuck at one focal length, so it's going to only be like a 3 or a 4 power. If you go that other route, like the Spitfire or an ACOG or even the SIG makes a, I think it's an Echo or something like that, that's a low-power optic, kind of like the ACOG that Trigicon makes for the military use. But basically what that does is it enables you to use both eyes open but still have some magnification. So you get the best of both worlds. But I would say you're on the right track in thinking about it. The only thing I didn't like about the magnifier and red dot setup is 90% of the time I'm shooting without magnification. So I have this thing kind of hanging off to the side. The second part of your question is the backup iron sights. In both cases, I think it's better to just go with the 45 or the 1 o'clock position offset iron sights so that you can put whatever optic you want and the sights don't ever interfere with them. When you flip them up, you don't lose your cheek weld when you rotate the gun to the 1 o'clock position. So they co-witness with your sight, you know, your optical sight, and when you just rotate that gun a little bit, you'll be able to see right through those sights, and it works great. So check that type of setup out, Dave. Hopefully that'll work for you. But I don't have a good definitive answer as to low-power variable optic versus magnification and red dot, so you're going to have to figure that out. So good luck with that.
Good answer, Toby. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, you're next with Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, y'all. Dovetailing, two quick questions. Dovetailing on that caller earlier on going crossing state lines. So if I'm in Massachusetts in my motorhome going to New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and I have a license to carry, am I legally not supposed to go into states X, Y, and Z with that?
Yeah, every state's a little different. You're totally fine going north. Going to the friendly neighbors to our north, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont are all constitutional carry states. So you can carry concealed in those states. Maine has a requirement that if you're stopped, you must disclose that you are carrying a gun before you even say, here's my license and registration. It's got to be the first words out of your mouth. But other than that, you're legally entitled to carry in those three states. You're going to have to check the laws. Most states in our area, in the Northeast, you can't carry concealed into those states like Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, etc. So those states will allow you safe passage, but you have to have the gun unloaded, locked, and basically inaccessible. So there you go. That's unfortunately the way it goes. And some states have reciprocity with other states, but you have to look at the map on that. There's about 36 states that have reciprocity. So, but they're not really helpful in the Northeast. So good luck with that, Wayne.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. Let's go to John. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, John.
Hi, thanks for having me. I got a quick question for you, Toby.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, no problem. I've tried to apply through my local town for my LTC, and I have a couple of nonviolent juvenile felonies, nothing on my adult record, and I was denied because of it. Now, I spoke with a lawyer about possibly, expunging my record, but because I have more than two offenses, they can't expunge it. So I'm worried that, say, if I go to New Hampshire, Florida, Texas, will my juvenile record prevent me from ever owning a firearm?
It all depends on how long you were, the potential to be incarcerated was. Like, I don't know what the felonies were, and nor do I need to know, but you should check with an attorney, number one, about seeing if they could reopen the case, and that might be an option for you if you talk to a local attorney and ask if they can reopen the case, and sometimes if it's a nonviolent offense, they will do that so that you don't earn a prohibited person for the rest of your life for some indiscretion as a youth. I don't know if the DA in your area will do that or not, but I think you can request to have a case reopened. And I would give, attorney Keith Langer or Jason Guida or Andrew Kucher a call about that and see if they could get those cases reopened. A lot of times they'll reopen them and, you know, kind of take another look at it and then dismiss them without a finding or something like that. So you can then possess firearms, but because that could haunt you no matter what state you move to. And I would just check in with local council about that.
All right. Thank you, John. Let's go to the other John on the line. Go ahead, John. Are you there, John?
Hi, Grace. Yep, I am. How you doing, Grace? Great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Toby, got two quick questions for you. The first one is, over the years, I've amassed my family's weapons, rifles and pistols and so on that I have in my safes. The first question is, as I am no longer on this earth and my kids come to my house and they acquire my safe full weapons, are they also able just to take them over like I do without any registration or formal claims? And the other question is, I have what might be called a Derringer or a Saturday Night Special that I acquired from my father over the years. It's a stainless steel one-shot clip hammer bent handle. And I don't know if it's even legal to have it. I don't know if it's a 32 or a 44 bore. So I'm wondering if it's even legal to have this thing, or whether I should just take my welding rod and put a slug in it and just make it a showpiece.
Now, it's just a pistol, right?
Right, single-shot pistol, right, with a clip. Kind of like a clip hammer, yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's absolutely no law that says you can't own that gun, so there's no problem whatsoever. And a lot of people end up conflating the fact that we have an approved weapons roster, thinking that they can't own any of the weapons that aren't on that list, and nothing can be further from the truth. You can own them, it just means a licensed gun shop could not sell you one, so you're totally fine owning that gun. As far as your collection of firearms, make sure you write it into your will who you want to inherit those guns and make sure it's spelled out specifically in your will. Like, you don't want to leave it to probate because that's going to make it a big mess. But specifically name, get with an attorney that can do some, law work and will work for you, and specifically name them to an inheritor so when you die that there's no question about who gets them and make sure, of course, they're legally able to own them. But that'll make it the most seamless, easiest way to go.
All right, everyone else on the lines, I do apologize. We have run out of time. Toby, tell people where they can contact you, where they can visit you, and more about Cape Gunworks.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. The easiest way to find us is at capegunworks.com, where you can shop online or sign up for a class to get your gun license. Come to sunny Cape Cod and visit the store in person right here in Hyannis. And you can join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Rapid Fire, our 2A talk show that we record, and it goes live on the weekends. The recorded show goes on the air on weekends. And we go to capegunworks.com, click on the Rapid Fire icon, and you can be signed up whenever we go live. So, and I love being on 2A Tuesday on the Grace Curley Show as well. So we'll look forward to talking with you again.
We love having you as well, Toby, and I know the listeners keep calling up and saying, make sure you keep having Toby on. I have no plans to not have Toby on, so everyone calm down. Nobody panic. Two-Way Tuesdays will be back next week. Sorry again, we had a lot of people on the lines there, but we have to go because the car crossover is up next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. We're waiting on Howie, but it's actually a good chance for me to play a little bit of sound here. Howie, did you see this UFC fighter, Bryce Mitchell? He had some words about Ukraine and Russia, and I think... even though he said from the very beginning he's not, an expert or anything, I think he spoke for a lot of people. I want to play this sound and have Howie react. Let's play a little bit of cut 28.
Well, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the whole Russia and Ukraine situation.
You know,
Here's my first thought is I'm not going nowhere to fight none of these wars for these politicians. I'm staying at home, and when the war comes to Arkansas, I will dig my boots in the ground, and I will die for everything I love, and I will not retreat. If this country's invaded and everybody's saying, well, we gotta evacuate, we gotta leave, I will not. I will dig my boots in the Arkansas soil, and I will fight for the people that I love, for the land that I love, and the way of life that I love. But I'm not going overseas to fight. I don't know what's going on, to be honest, brother. I really don't. There's so much stuff, and I don't think nobody knows what's going on.
Now, a lot of people were mocking him on Twitter, saying he openly admits he doesn't know what's going on. I believe he's referring to the fog of war and all the misinformation we're getting about this current situation.
Right. He seemed to have a pretty good idea that, you know, the Bidens were taking a lot of graft out of the country as the cut goes on.
Yeah. Should we play that? Let's play the second half for people. This is the Bryce Mitchell.
There's been so much political corruption in that area. You got Biden and his son making a ton of money off of and using our tax dollars to bribe their people. That's treasonous, in my opinion. So you got Hunter Biden and his son using our tax dollars. Hey, if Ukrainian government, if you don't do this, we're taking your tax dollars. He shouldn't be giving our tax dollars to that country anyway. We got veterans out here sleeping on the street, and you're going to give our freaking tax dollars to these Ukrainians and all the, brother, I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm not going over there and fighting, and God bless anybody that's over there fighting, and I hope that just gets solved.
He mixed up Hunter and Joe's name, but other than that, I mean, what did he say that was wrong?
No, I think he was pretty dead on, and I think he speaks for a lot of people who aren't very trusting of these politicians who seem more than happy to send other people's children to war.
Right. Yeah, there's a, you know, when Muhammad Ali was drafted back in the 60s, you know, they said, why won't you go and fight in Vietnam? And he said, well, you know, no Viet Congs, he calls Congs plural, ever called me the N-word. And, you know, there was a column today in American Thinker about that line. Why do people that have been called deplorables, domestic terrorists, white supremacists, now all the people like Blinken and Klain and Sullivan and Max Boot, they all want to send the white supremacists and the domestic terrorists off to fight their war? I don't think so. I don't see people lining up for that.
And I love how he said if people ever come here and invade, he'll dig his boots in the soil, because I don't think the people at MSNBC and CNN would agree with that sentiment. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.